Sunday is Illinois Derby Day, and there is a contest you're going to want to get involved in. Illinois Derby Day Betting Challenge, co-presented by our friends at Hawthorne and also by ExpressBet. The prizes are added to this one, and it's just an $800 bankroll. We're talking about $10,000 in cash, BCBC, two NHC seats, and those are going to have a $1 million bonus. So this is a terrific opportunity for players. If you are looking to play in Chicago at one of those awesome teletheaters, you're going to want to reach out to Rhonda Sosnowski at RhondaS@clubhawthorne.com. You can also call Rhonda 708-780-3733. Advanced registration online at HawthorneRacecourse.com is also strongly encouraged if you're going to be playing live. You can also play on ExpressBet, ExpressBet.com/tournaments. Find all the info. Hopefully, we're going to have a special show for the day. Going to be great racing for Illinois Derby Day. Get involved and win some fabulous prizes. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Saturday, April 20th, 420. PTF here in the bunker, and we've got a varied show for you today. We've got a lot of parts. We're going to dive right into it with a man. The Red House is out of the picture. He is now a New York City resident. We'll bring him in. You've seen him all over our YouTube coverage of the Derby, etc. The usual co-host of this program, JK, Jonathan Kinchin. How is life in the big city?
Well, there's a lot. We got a lot there. We got to clean up. I'm definitely not a resident. I'm just kidding. No, I don't think the people that
49% of the time are resident. Isn't that?
Yeah. Just sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm not. But yeah, you know, we got to get rid of the little house. So you got the little house on the east side.
Yes.
Then we had the red house on the south side.
Yep,
and now we'll go with the apartment on the Upper West Side. The funniest part about the new spot is I'm literally five streets from Andy Serling.
So you guys are getting lunch all the time, hanging out?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I guess we're going to subway down to Aqueduct every now and again together.
You should.
So it's fun. This you know, I've always wanted to spend a little bit more time in the city. You know, got to spend a lot of time in Saratoga. We still get to spend a lot of time in Austin, and it just kind of happened. So it's cool. I'm excited to be at Aqueduct a little bit more, and you know, it's the city that I thought it was. I'll say that.
You're impressed so far, in other words, and you figured out the alternate side of the street parking.
No, that's wild. That's like I told Jovanina yesterday. I was like, are you still sleeping? I'm down here like in the middle of Hunger Games. This is wild.
You know, don't you remember?
No wonder. I remember all the time
during that period. I would do the show. I did the show from the parking lot at the Key Food back in the day, 10 years ago when we started these shows. Oh, that's absolutely ridiculous.
I strongly believe that the gun restriction laws in this city are because of alternate street parking. Because if they had alternate street parking in Texas, there's way too many guns and bullets for that. It wouldn't go well.
Oh my God. That's an interesting observation. I can see where you're coming from with that. So personally, I imagine one of the chief benefits, other than everything that New York has to offer, much easier get to your very frequent trips to your actual home city of Austin. But then also, from a horse racing fan point of view, this means we're going to be seeing you a lot more out at the racetrack. And that's going to be fun for the viewers. That's got to be fun for you.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's don't get me wrong. I love the convenience of being able to do the shows from home. And it works out great, especially when we're back and forth in Austin. Obviously I can't be on track when I'm in Austin. So it works out great, but yeah, just to have the chance to be able to get over there a little bit more, it's going to be fun, especially, you know, once, you know, I don't know what will be in a couple of years when Belmont gets up and running, but I'm pretty excited about what's to come for New York racing.
Belmont, that's going to be a great commute for you. That'll be super easy, especially with the better trains now that go out to there with the arena. And, you know, Belmont, I'm very optimistic. I mean, you know, are there some aesthetic choices that I would want to have questions about or talk about more? Sure. But I mean, I really think this is going to be a big positive, and I'm glad they were able to get it done when they got it done. I feel like New York Racing has safeguarded its future with this project, and I'm remaining optimistic about it. Let's talk Derby coverage real quick before we dive into these races at Aqueduct, just because we have so much stuff up there on the YouTube channel now and so much more stuff coming down the pike. What have you enjoyed the most so far of the stuff that we've done?
You know, I'm, you know, for two guys that have been anti-top 10 list, it's been fun to do these top 10 lists without having to make the list, because our friend Eric DeCoster has done a great job making those lists for us, so we can just kind of talk about them. You know, those have been fun. You know, I thought the draft was fun. I think just taking what we do from a podcast standpoint, cutting it down, trimming it down a little bit, and giving like a video presentation with it, just all of it's just been really fun. You know, we've had a lot of interaction. The comment section is we're both great. Active in there. You know, yeah. It's part of like one of the daily things I do. I just like, I go in there and I just like get in the comment section. So it's fun. It's fun. So if you're not already following us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and hit that notify bell icon. And hopefully you're not like the gentleman who's probably listening to this audio version that had no idea, that wanted to continue to tell you over and over again that you got to tell people when you post on YouTube.
But just didn't know. We had to coach him up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, it's 2024.
Not everybody is as attuned to this stuff. It's true. And I have had other people just suggest like, oh, what about putting audio of that? And my general attitude about it is there are some things that I would do that for. In fact, maybe we'll see how the shows go, but I have a show coming up with Nick discussing the morning line, Alex Henry. We're going to be talking about some pedigree angles. And if there isn't a big visual element and it's a lengthy enough conversation to warrant being part of a pod, I'll do that. But I just feel like it's so different. We're so snappy. It's like, I just don't think the top 10s really work as audio. Are you ambivalent at all about this, or are you happy with just having them be video content and just getting people coached up to you know, subscribe and click the bell?
Yeah, I've never really been a fan of a 5-minute podcast because like what, you know what I mean? Like that's just not – when I open up my podcast app, I'm not looking to digest something for 5 minutes.
Right.
Now, but you and I have talked about this a lot, like, you know, production meeting inside of a show. Like I also don't like doing – I'm kind of like overdoing the hour-long podcast of what we're – you know, what we used to do. I think there's certain races and certain events that kind of warrant that. But like an average – you know, like what we're about to do now. I think if we were to do the Naira Pick 6 in a 45-minute, 60-minute show, it's just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's not – it's just too much. I think it's better. People want some ideas. They want some – they want to hear us throw around some ideas. They want to either confirm their ideas or maybe they want to anti-listen to what we have to say. I don't think they need the whole thing. I think there's times where like an hour is good, like when you're teaching or talking about a topic. Like if you want to talk about turf pedigree for an hour, hell yeah, that makes sense. Let's get into the weeds here. So I don't to answer your question in a very long way, no, I don't think the 5-minute top 10s need to be audio podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're doing the exception to me for a short pod is the like those daily Keeneland ones that don't have much shelf life. I love to keep them to 10 minutes. I did a Friday one today that actually went over half an hour, which was probably kind of a host fail, but I was just enjoying talking to the guests so much that I couldn't do it any shorter than that. But you know, you listen at, in that instance, you listen at 1.5 times speed and you should still be okay. But yeah, a lot That's of this nice stuff you can... belongs on YouTube and we'll stay there. And then some others, when it's possible, I do take the note. When it works in both, I'll do it in both.
Yeah. So two fun points, and then we'll hop into this pick six. One is that you can listen in fast forward on YouTube too. I don't know. A lot of people don't know that. You can go to 1.5, 2.5, 2 speed, whatever. Sometimes I can make a longer thing a little bit quicker. And the second thing, production meeting and the show again, we've got two production meetings in the show. Chris Felica is going to talk just a touch on the monster pods that are going to be coming up.
Very nice. That's good. That's great info. And then,
I say we give him just a touch and then we see what we want to do with Catching Freedom. What's the other Encino? I still think that if we can still maybe have Brad, we'll just have an extra, we'll have a bonus edition for the trainer with the most horses in the race. And we'll have Brad talk about his three horses.
Absolutely. Or he cannot, you know, obviously he's going to talk about his three horses, but we can call it the Encino one, whatever it happens to be. Either way, it's great. Brad's always been a great guest on the Monster Pods. We've got terrific people signed up. Randy Moss, Duke Matisse, Gabby Gaudette, Jay Privman. Those are just the ones I've recorded so far. Other people coming down the pike that should be great fun as well. So yeah, I'm excited for those monsters. They're going to start dropping this weekend. Yeah, you're going to get sick of the Derby content from us. Oh, I will say this because it ties in everything we've been talking about. We call it the Monster Pod. We're using that term sort of generically, but really what they're going to be this year is mini pods on YouTube. There are going to be little 5-minute videos brought to you by our friends at Free Reign Coffee. That will be, you know, one on each horse. We'll probably go 23, 24 deep. I don't want to ever get Rich Struck again. That's still one of the most frustrating things for me in my career as a podcaster, that we spent something like 13 hours doing Derby coverage, and I had one sentence on Rich Strike a few years ago.
Let me give you some therapy right now. You don't even have to. I'm not even going to invoice you for this. Who cares? The horse never won another race. That's what makes the Derby exciting, is once every 10 to 15 years, a horse is going to win the race that has absolutely no business winning the race. And what you do is you turn the page and you wait 364 more days for another opportunity to pick the winner. Who cares about Rich Strike? Who cares about Rich Strike?
I just want to go. I want to go 24 deep. If the 25th horse gets it, and you know, and here comes Uncle Heavy zooming on the outside, I can live with that. Maybe just because I said that on air, we should now tee up an Uncle Heavy guess too. But anyway, you hear where I'm coming from with this. But the key point I was going to make is, when those are all done, when the mini pods are done, we are going to have the one long audio only Monster Pod, and be able to get that sorted out. Okay, are we ready to talk about these races at the Big A?
You know what? This mute button is going to really take hold of me, and New York is going off. So, you know, strap up. JK on mute is going to be a bingo card.
You're going to get stuck on mute once or twice. Perrin is here. She has a quick question. Maybe I'll edit this out. Maybe I'll leave it in. But very quickly, because we are in the middle of recording.
I know.
What is it?
I was asking is it the ceramic plates that like blow up if you put them in the microwave?
No, you can put a ceramic plate in the microwave. Okay. Don't put any metal in the microwave.
Okay, good. Okay. I was just making sure which one blew up and which
one. We'll leave that in because I think it's a useful public. Yeah, and it's a useful public service announcement to people. Do not put metal in the microwave. All right, so we're off the rails here completely, but we're going to get back on them as we talk about this Aqueduct Pick 6. You're on the Fox show on Saturday. We'll start with that.
Yeah, I am on Saturday, and it's fun. It looks like turf is back.
It is.
In New York. So that's
grass
exciting.
Season in New York. Nick made this joke, but I have to repeat it. The grass season in New York appropriately starts on 420.
Wow. That's good. Nick's such a clever character, isn't he?
So we kick it off with a $14,000 claimer on the dirt, mind you. We're going 1 mile, and I thought maybe we could get a little value in here fading the entry, JK, and I had a few different ideas of how to do that. The 3 Union Lights I liked a little bit. Ran okay versus the flow last time. I thought maybe could get a good setup in here, assuming one of the entry mates gets in attacking position. I thought that the 6, Winning Connection, very obvious. Big drop could be tough in this spot. And then if it is a speed horse, I think I wanted to have at least one little line as a backup with the 4, Arrabato, in case one of the entry mates doesn't show speed. I thought there was a chance, looking at time form anyway, that the 4 could be loose. So I had a 3-6 on the A line, 4 on the B line. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we talked about a lot of nonsense at the start of this, so I'm going to save us a little bit of time here. I like so much later in this sequence, I will play the pick 6, but this is the start of a pick 6 leg that typically would have me skip it and play the pick 5. I'm an all-button guy here. They all look very similar, and I don't trust the top ones. They'll probably win. Maybe if I was trying to be a little bit more equitable, what I would do is play an all-ticket. And then I would come back and play a 1-3-6 just a little bit more, because I don't want the entry to win at 6-5, and I feel like a real jerk for using the all button. But I do feel like this is kind of an all button, all but one, really. I don't need the 2 strong light, but I'm spreading in here as much as I can, and I'll get very, very skinny a little bit later.
All right, I'm going to write you down as the all but one because that is a signature move of yours. We talked about the grass.
That should be that could be the next T-shirt, honestly. All but one.
All but one. That would be amazing. That would really be for the people that know. Race five, we're on the grass. Fillies and mares, mile and a 16th on the turf. And this was a race that that I thought the two was very interesting. Colorful Lady could be loose under an aggressive pilot in Carmouche. This dam was a turf winner. I thought the one was very obvious off of the promising turf debut. I was going to see what we could do with the two and the one.
All I need is the one. Gray Osh. Oh, I see what they did there. Gray Yoshida.
There you go.
This is just, to me, it's, you know, we talked about it's about to be grass season in New York. There's another name for that. It's called CB season in New York. you know, Chad is in one of those positions where he really does kind of let off the gas when it comes to grass racing with his horses in the winter. And he kind of waits, you know, he'll pop you with a few at Tampa and he'll hit you with a few at Keeneland. And then this is when he really gets rolling when Aqueda gets back on the grass. This horse looks tough. This is the only one I need.
Okay. One for you. I'm going to try my little pedigree pace angle on the two as well. That horse is called Colorful Lady. All right. Race number six, starter allowance, 6 furlongs on the dirt, a race that does not have a ton of speed according to Timeform US, but that is not I decided not to give that the definitive make that the definitive way that I was looking at the race, because I just think Clubhouse, who could potentially be on the lead, I think will probably assume stalking position and just get an absolutely perfect run through here. Timeform did have upside potential. Ex Chad Brown now in the care of Linda Rice as loose in the spot. We've seen Linda Rice do this where she will improve a horse even off of a great trainer. So I was going to make the four my lone A, just on the obvious best figs in form and recency and versatile running style angle, with the five as just a lone B, you know, play it through one time kind of deal. How much do you believe in Clubhouse Ride in this spot?
I'm a spready guy here a little bit. I'm with you on Clubhouse Ride. You said a bunch of things. Is it Clubhouse Ride or is it just?
It's not. That's a different horse. This one's just called Clubhouse.
Clubhouse Ride would gallop in this race. you got me speaking wildly. Clubhouse, right, yeah. 1, 4, 5, 7, 8 for me. I would probably come back and press the four a little bit, just because, like you said, Timeform US projects that it's going to be a slower pace. This horse is going to be forward, and this horse runs figures that make a ton of sense. So I would probably press up the four here, but I want to make sure I have the 1, 4, 5, 7, 8 on A lines. I don't want to make those horses B's because I don't trust Clubhouse. But yeah, I'm there with a little bit of a press.
4, 1, 5, 7, 8. Pretty spready approach. You're being so narrow in other places, you could afford that. But you do want to make that four the top pick, and you will come back and play an extra time. You talked about Chad Brown season in New York. We got a lot of Chad Brown horses to talk about in the next few races, starting right here with race number 7, where one of several races on the rest of this card where he just appears to hold all the cards. I was going to go with Blazing Sevens. Maybe looks faster a little bit than Artorias. He's also run a good race a lot more recently than Artorias. I'm not going to blame anybody who wants to try to use both, but you know that can be a tricky way to fly in equity terms. If you want to split them, play the 5. I'm going to probably do the 5 more as an A, the 3 Artorias more as a B. I really wanted to try to make a pace case for a long shot in here, but they just didn't look good enough. I've got it basically 5-3. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, please, please, please. I think the biggest mistake you can make in a situation like this, unless you have other opinions that are really sexy in the sequence, do not use both of these horses. It's inevitable that you'll be upside down if you use both of the Chad Brown runners. Now, what I'll say is, and I don't know, I have not asked, I didn't talk to anyone. The last two works for Blazing Sevens and Artorias were both on the same day, and they were at the same distance. I would presume that they worked together. That's what Chad does. He works his horses together, especially when on the same plan. He works them together, especially when they're of similar talents, right? You know, Artorias was bet in the Travers. Blazing Sevens is a Triple Crown placed horse. I'm going to go with Blazing Sevens because I'm going to predict that they worked together. Blazing Sevens is getting LASIKs for the first time, and Manny shows up on Blazing Sevens, which based on the relationship that Chad has with John Panagot, Chad using Manny, Chad never really rides Trevor. I would imagine that John got the call on which one he should ride, and you should ride Blazing Sevens. Here we go. I'll single Blazing Sevens the five.
All right. We're very, very similar on that one. Let's go to race number eight. We've got a Turf Stakes action, the Dangers Hour, and three Chad Browns here. One thing I'll say is I had a clear preference of them, and it's not – and you know, David Aragon is so good at making the morning line. Maybe the morning line gets skewed a little bit in a race like this where there's an MTO like Ouster who has to account for some of the market, but long way of saying – Equitize, if you could actually get 9-2 in this race on Equitize, that would probably be my bet of the day at Aqueduct on Saturday. I think this horse is going to be in a great attacking spot, very progressive. I really like him. I was going to try to really press up this horse and even possibly single as a way to pick up some equity. Do you like Equitize here?
I need all three. I need all three. I need Mason, a horse that I've always loved. I mean, his Seek Again and his poker, he was outstanding. I mean, I loved him in the 4-star Dave that day when Casa Creed beat him back in 22. He's just a talented horse. I can't leave him off. I got to have Spirit of St. Louis, and I got to have Equitize. I have a funny Spirit of St. Louis story. June 10th, when the horse won first time on the turf, that day, Chad said, this horse – you know, it was like Belmont Day. This horse can't lose. Come on, Chad. Can't lose. He's trying the turf for the first time. No. Can't lose. And then I actually watched the race with him, and the horse breaks horrible. Horrible. And I was like, okay, I bet the horse can lose now. I didn't say that to him, but I thought it. And then the horse gallops and wins by four and then goes on a nice little kind of streak. He got beat in the West Point. He's a very, very good New York bred. I understand why he's taking the money he'll take. And then I got to have Equitize too. So I'm going to use all three of those. And I've got two singles in here so I can be a little bit more spready here.
And that's why people will accuse me of a host fail if I don't hold your feet to the fire. How is it you can't use the two in the dirt race, but you can use all three here? I think ultimately it just comes down to ticket construction.
Yeah, I mean, it's ticket construction. But I think the difference is that Yes. That's why I said, unless you have sexy opinions elsewhere, you can't use all three. And I think my sexy quote opinions are that I do have two singles and a pick six. Two singles and a pick six. I mean, look, I guess if they're both 1-9, that's not that cool. But, you know, you are really allowing yourself to hit the repeat button a few times. Yes. And I think that goes a long way. And I can't separate these horses. I think Equitize offers a bunch of value. I think Spirit of St. Louis is a really special New York bred. And I've had a thing for Mason. There's no way I'm going to let this horse beat me if he shows up and runs, you know, some of his races he's run in the past.
All right. Well, I'm going to stand with Equitize and see if I can get lucky. But I mean, you're.
I misspoke, Pete. I misspoke. I said I had two singles. I actually have three singles on to race nine.
Let's get right to it then. When it comes to this pick six on the grass opening day, how are we going to get paid?
Yeah, Beach Cruiser ran fast as a two-year-old. It's one of my favorite angles, right? You get these horses that run fast as two-year-olds. They get a little bit of a break, and then they come back. I like Beach Cruiser quite a bit. First time Lasix. You know, the rail is not a bargain, but the horse won wire to wire, so should pop away from there. You get Manny Franco. This one I feel I know it's the favorite, but this one I kind of feel proud of in a race where there's 16 horses entered. You got four AEs, and people are going to be a little spready here, but I'm not.
I like Beach Cruiser, but I had as my sort of lone B, I had a price horse I wanted to throw in here. The 11 Latest Edition felt like was too fast on the pace last time, probably too far back, too back in a race where the speed favoring flow. I think that just dropping in hold up tactics in this race where I think there's plenty of pace could suit this one and fits well on figures and form. I was going to try to get out with two, the 11 and the one to close things out at the Big A. Great stuff, JK. Appreciate having you on, and we'll be doing a lot more soon. Folks, check out your Monster Pods. JK, any closing thoughts before we get to the next part of the show?
No.
No,
that's it. No, I couldn't think of anything clever. I was going to try to say something clever, and then I started to get insecure that it wasn't going to be funny, and so I just backed out.
Gotcha, gotcha. You checked and checked hard, but yeah. Hopefully you can re-rally as your day goes along. We'll see you on TV, my friend.
Talk soon.
Yes, we know all about the Kentucky Derby, and we're excited for that. But how about the Preakness? It's coming up as well, Saturday, May 18th. And we also have the Preakness Future Wager to look forward to. Going to be talking all about that once it goes live about 1 week from today, April 26th. They're one of the sponsors, the Preakness Future Wager, actually, of the audio version of our Monster Pod that you're going to hear. Get involved and get there in person if you can. From indoor dining in the grandstand to premium outdoor viewing from the first turn suites and the iconic turf sign terrace, guests will get to enjoy everything the Preakness has to offer. For more information about attending the Preakness, Preakness 149 specifically, make sure you check out Preakness.com and keep your ears to the ground to get involved in that Preakness Future Wager. Next up on the show, we've got a really interesting card from Santa Anita to talk about. And for me personally, I'm going to be on UK TV for the early part of this card. And then we've got our live stream that we're going to do for the last four races. So rather than go through part of the card, we're going to go through the whole thing. I mentioned the live stream. That's in conjunction with this contest jockey contest we're a part of, contestjockey.com, this new format, which we've developed based on what we did for the World Horse Player Tour. Think No Limit Hold'em meets horse racing. One horse to win in every race is all you got to pick. And you have escalating minimum bids, kind of like blinds in a poker tournament. You can go all in at any time. It's a lot of fun. And we've got a $500 top prize, a $500 free bet on the Preakness to the overall winner. Get involved, contestjockey.com. So I need to do a little bit of extra prep, obviously, for all these races on TV. So who do I turn to? I turn to one of our go-tos when it comes to all things Southern California racing, one of the most popular writers over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. He really is almost single-handedly what he's done for this website by giving us the idea to have these track websites link out to us. We now have that exact relationship that he basically went out and did on his own with Del Mar years ago. We've now got it with Santa Anita, Keeneland, and Naira. I owe many, many thanks to my old friend, Dean Kepler. How are you, buddy?
Pete, it's good to be here with you. How you been?
Things are good, man. Very excited for what's promising to be a cool Saturday of racing. Grass season starting in New York, Keeneland, Santa Anita. We're covering it all on this show. But Santa Anita is one that I play regularly, but I always love to get a specialist knowledge of. And, you know, that's what you provide daily over there, giving out loads of winners. But even more important than that, great analysis. So let's start off right with the very first race when it comes to Santa Anita's Saturday card. Dean, how do you want to light this candle?
Yeah, Pete, you know, this is actually, you know, surprisingly my best bet of the day. 2-1 morning line, nothing particularly special here. But I like number 5, Beef Winslow, who, you know, who holds an old school double buyer advantage here off his last pair of downhill sprint tries. Onto the regular course here, but, you know, I just think he's going to sit a nice stalking trip here for Glatt, and I think he's going to run by them late, and, you know, that's going to be my single to start off, you know, the pick 5 here. Number 4, Sharp As Attack, has won 2 straight, makes his first start of the Steve Knapp claim, which is, he's got some solid numbers, clicking close to 30% there with turf sprint acquisitions the last couple of years. So I'm going to go 5-4-6, but I'm going to lean heavily here on the 5 as my single.
I'm seeing this as being on the downhill. Did they move it to the main track because of weather or something, or is it possible it is a downhill race?
Yeah, it is possible, but, you know, if I'm looking at this piece here,
I'm looking at Formulator, and it has the little downhill graph.
Okay, all right. Maybe I'm wrong there, but okay. Yeah. But I'm still, you know, regardless, I'm still all in on Beef Winslow.
Yeah, he'd look better on the downhill, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, his last pair of downhill sprint tries, you know, resulted in a win, runner-up finish on February 15th. I'm all on him. You know, regardless whether it was a straight course or the downhill, a single for me on Beef Winslow.
Yeah, on the straight, on the main oval, I like the idea of maybe Sharp As Attack just being able to be dominant speed. On the downhill, I do think it's 5-4. Those are the numbers that I'm going to use. I mean, I won't belabor the point on Beef Winslow, but, you know, we love those downhill specialists. I love that figure advantage. But I do think that speed weapon of Sharp As Attack worth including where you can. This is not one of the races in the contest jockey contest. That will start at 5 o'clock. with, I think it's race number 4. I'll let you know when we get there what that is. But obviously the races are all up on contestjockey.com. Go over there, create a free account. Let's move to race number 2, where we've got a 6-furlong turf event, another race where I was zeroed in on a couple runners I thought might get really good trips. Starting with number 8, Ms. McWinnie. This horse ran last time at the maiden claiming level, getting a cutback here to 6 furlongs. I'm hoping it suits. I mean, the best race, or one of the best races so far, was the 6-furlong maiden debut. And I was just seeing her sitting in a good attacking spot. The other one I'm interested in, sort of a co-top pick for me, number 1, I'm not sure if it's Sabres or Sabres, but this horse, 2nd off the layoff, I thought was maybe a little bit against the flow last time, going 6.5. And this horse has a little bit of finish, and I also think will be sitting in a good attacking position. I was going to try to get out 8-1, 1-8, something along those lines. How do you see the second race?
Pete, I really like the 3 here. He's going to be my top pick. Angle I do love. His horse is dropping from maiden special weight into a claim of first time. They show a lot of speed. Yep. They usually have a big advantage. And, you know, I think the 3 is going to be really tough here to run down. Outside of him, I think it gets a little bit more difficult. I also took a look at number 2, Yellow Sundress. Goes dirt to dirt from start number 2. Comes off a long layoff here, but certainly bred, to handle the grass here. The first start, I believe, was washed off at Keelan.
Yes.
So I kind of went 3-2-1 here, a little bit different year, but it looks, you know, I start off my analysis, you'll see online for Saturday. It certainly looks like a race you could spread in for me anyway. But, you know, at 6-1, you know, I'll be all in on a 3 here. I think, you know, a solid wire-to-wire choice here with the drop down.
You're making a very compelling case. I was hoping was going to go with you there. Looking at it again, I'm not even sure, because on like the time form pace map, the 3 is clear with the 1 and the 8, who I like for sort of those off the pace trips coming running. I guess when I was first looking at collectively, I was just thinking she'd had her chances, but you're right. This is a new low level, and we know how that can wake horses up. So definitely another one to consider for your horizontals there in the second race at Santa Anita. Let's go to race number 3. This is the one that starts the Contest Jockey contest. So 5 o'clock is when that will begin. We just have a field of 5 here, but contention still runs kind of deep. You've got 3 horses listed at 2-1 or shorter on the morning line. Was it one of those that you landed with, or can we pull in something at a little bit of a price?
I actually went for a little bit of price here, Pete, with number 2, Fast Chaz, who gets onto the dirt here, certainly bred to do that. And, you know, I think a mile might be a little further, than he wants to go here. But I'm going to go here with Fast Chaz. This jockey-trainer combo is actually, not a big sample, but 5-18, 28% with turf-to-dirt runners at Santa Anita the last 5 years. Certainly like that angle. Like I said, it's got enough dirt breeding. And at 8-1, you know, why not on Fast Chaz here? Top 3 here were 2-3-1. But, you know, I certainly like him as a price.
Could be a case of short field, long price, as my old friend Jeff Sotman used to say. I like the runner that you put in 2nd, Duran for Michael McCarthy. This is a runner. I mean, talk about runners who've had their chances. You could make that case about this one. But I just thought pace-wise, maybe with a really aggressive ride here under Rispoli, has an opportunity to have a good blend of speed and stamina, if not to make the top, at least to be sitting right there and get the right kind of trip. I like your case on Fast Chaz, and I'll be working that one in some combos as well. I'm going with the 3-2-3-1 for Dean in race number 3. We'll go on to race 4, Calbred Maidens going 6 furlongs on the turf. We get the big full field in this one, or the full field anyway, of 10 runners. And I was very much attracted to Motivating Force in this spot, just as one I thought would be well-suited to this turn back in distance. This is a horse who was attending pretty fast fractions going a mile. So looking at the pace map today, I think is one that could be sitting in a pretty nice spot. And great breeding, the English Channel, Kitten's Joy Cross, which typically you would see going farther more than shortening up. But I'm hoping Frasu can have this one in the right spot and just might be better suited to this discipline not so much based on the bloodlines, but just based on the way that he shaped in the running lines. I was going to try 6, motivating force. What did you like in race number 4?
Yeah, Pete, I also, you know, I had the 6 pick second here, but, you know, you made some compelling reasons, which I also agree with. My top choice, I think I went to number 2, Western Grid here. Hasn't been out in 3 months, but looks to be super quick from the gate. Finished second at this level and last seen back in January. And I just think this Ryan Hansen-Gelding comes back with a sharp best of 41 4 furlong work recently on April 14th. And, you know, it's another speedster here on the turf. But, you know, I went 2-6-1 here in the 4th race. And I think of those are the ones to, I guess, the key in here on your main tickets for sure.
I'm hearing you. There's definitely a speed play on the 2. I'm sensing if Ryan Hansen has a good day, you're going to have a good day, because you also pointed out the potential speed angle on collectively for that operation a little bit earlier on in the card. So we'll see how that plays out for you. I think that's another one I don't mind the idea of working on to some tickets as well. Let's talk about race 5, $20,000 claimers going a mile on the dirt. Another potential pace angle in this one with Soul of Midnight, but I did not want to necessarily stand alone with that one. I thought, based on the recent body of work, that Tiz Talk was a little bit interesting. I thought this was maybe a little bit easier of a group than the one he faced the last day. I wrote down 2 and 4, attempting to maybe have the 2 is the best speed, the 4 is the best closer, and then no matter how this shakes out pace-wise, hopefully I'll have an opportunity to get the money. What did you think in race 5?
I also had the 2 and 4 on my main tickets here. Another one I would throw in there, Pete, is number 5, 50 Cinco, who I'm hoping is not a need-a-lead type that, you know, he seems to do his best races on the front here. But I'm hoping he could possibly sit a little bit off the flank of Soul of Midnight. It comes out of a career best buyer. If you come back to that effort, and like I said, he can sit off of Soul of Midnight here, he might be able to get, you know, first run on the dead closers in this race. But I went 5-2-4 as my top selections.
Gotcha. Throwing the 5 in there. And yeah, I feel like we can lock that one up maybe with those 3. Only you don't love to. You have to lock up a 7-horse field with 3 runners. But
yeah,
hey.
One thing I wanted to ask, also add, Pete, I had on my notes here, Soul of Midnight is, you know, Barn is only 1-for-27 with recent acquisitions. So one of those trainer stats you want to certainly pay attention to in there before you go all in and single Soul of Midnight. Certainly a reason to, you know, take at least a little pause there about that.
I think that's right. And a reason why I wouldn't want to stand alone, but fits so well on numbers. You know, when I see a trend like that, it's exactly that. It makes me not want to single, not want to press. But in my body of work as a player, I still want to include, even when I see a negative number like that. I know you're big on trainer stats. Is that similar to you, or will you get off a horse completely for wagering purposes when you see some negative signal like that?
No, because, you know, despite the stat that's not very appealing, you know, you got to take in the entire picture, and he certainly has all, you know, the things that we spoke about to win this race. So I wouldn't just be, it wouldn't be an automatic toss for me, but it's, you know, it's something that I would certainly consider if I was going to just single him in there, and, you know, it would probably make me, you know, use some backup tickets with him there.
Race number 6, we've got Calbred Maidens going 6 furlongs on the turf as well. I thought there was an interesting angle on the first time starter, Charlie Pride, in this spot. By Arrogate, not a bad first out sire, but it's the damn side pedigree. Enola Gray was such an impressive winner first out, one sibling to make it to the races, also won first out. I just felt like the precocity of the damn side and D'Amato in the quarter made this one I wanted to pay a lot of extra attention to in this spot. Not a lot of clues in the work tab for this one, but I like Charlie Pride. How did you see race 6?
Yeah, I'm not one, you know, to get overly excited about a Phil D'Amato first time starter. You know, usually they need a race or two, but not always. And he certainly looks like he's got a lot of, you know, bottom, tons of works here. They seem to be well spaced. Certainly one I would include. My top pick actually in here was the number 4, Moon Ice, making his first start off roughly a 7 month of freshening for new barn. And, you know, if you look at his layoff lines, he does run well fresh, takes the blinkers off today. And, you know, another one coming in here with some decent works, especially the last two.
Yeah.
Bullet drills. Like I said, it's proven off the layoff. And I think, you know, I love Hector Berrios on the grass. So Moon Ice is one I would certainly use. Another goes to the ACK, makes career start number 14 today, but has hit the board in 8 of those 13 tries, including in the money finishes in the last 6 consecutive races. So anyone playing any vertical exotics in there, you know, you have to
use that horse for verticals, no yep. doubt.
But for me, it's, you know, I'm going to take a shot here with Moon Ice.
Yeah, I wonder price-wise if you might get more than that 4-1. I mean, it's kind of ugly-looking paper, right? 0-9, that dirt race at Los Al, last out, the layoff, the trainer change. Not that Baltus is bad at all, but there's just a lot of things that, I mean, you got those big numbers, obviously, which are going to mean the horse gets bet somewhat. But I don't know, 4-1 feels like the horse isn't going to be any shorter than that, right?
No, I certainly agree with you. I think you're going to get a decent price here. And I just think he's going to run, you know, he's going to run probably his A or at least a B-plus race here off the bench. And like I said, I just love Berrios. He seems to have, you know, that internal clock in his head where he rakes. He always seems to be in the right place on the grass. And I think he's going to be live.
We're taking opposite approaches there. I'm going with a completely unexposed first-time starter. Dean going with those more exposed runners. But, yeah, on numbers, I mean, I could certainly see it. I have a feeling – well, I shouldn't say this. I'll knock Antibes right in the winner circle. But I was going to say, I feel like one of us is going to be right and win in race number six. Let's move to race number 7. And we've got the first of our stakes races on the day, the Grade 3 Californian. And you're going to have a very big favorite in here in the form of number 2, Judge Miller. This one with the tremendous pedigree, being out of cavorting, which makes him a full to Clairiere. And I think he's going to be very, very, very hard to beat in this spot. Are you with or against Judge Miller?
Yeah, I, as much as I'd like to make a creative pick against him, I just think, you know, it's a lightly raced 4-year-old colt. Comes in with that top, you know, that 105 buyer. If he, you know, was able to run anything close to that, you know, being by curling, the additional 1/8 of a mile should not be an issue. I just, you know, he just looks really tough to pick against here, Pete.
Yeah. Who would you use as your go-withs for verticals?
Yeah, you know, nothing creative underneath. I think I went 3-5, which I think is the logical second and third choice here. Mixto exit in 3 consecutive 95 buyers, dropping out of the Santa Anita Derby. I guess you consider this a softer spot, technically. Taking the blinkers off today, kind of battle-tested, proven around 2 turns. Makes sense for the logical underneath there.
Race number 8, more graded stakes, Grade 3 Providencia, 3-year-old fillies going 1 1/8. Maybe the distance could end up being a key factor in this one. Dean, who's your idea of the winner?
Yeah, I mean, this not if we get the 3 wins here, who is 3 for 3, really going to ruin our price for any potential big payouts here in horizontal late exotics. But yeah, I think it's also tough to bet against Maduro here. We've seen his buyers improve with each subsequent start. It's probably going to be heavily favored to win a 4th straight here for Peter Urton. His daughter of Honor Code continues to train well in the morning. And it just looks like, that she's going to remain undefeated in here and good chance of going 4 for 4. Underneath, perhaps, I used a 4. I went 3-4-1. But I really can't make a whole lot of, compelling argument for anybody else. I think she's going to be tough.
We see it very similarly. The only thing I was thinking is first time going that 1 1/8, you know, maybe they ride a little conservatively. Can maybe Lamborghini just give them the slip on the front end? I'm picking the 3 Maduro, but I will, even in my horizontals, use a little bit of 4 on that pace angle because I just don't see anybody going with her. I guess maybe Shiloh's Mistress could try, but sometimes with when they go that mile and eight for the first time, it's like in the jockeys' heads to try to save something for stamina. And I'm hoping Maldonado just kind of does the opposite and gets very aggressive and just turns this into turns this into a real test and just ends up with that key head start. There'll be loads of threes, but I'm going to have some four as well. Really interesting one for the contest where you could potentially pick the three and make a massive bet, but maybe it's a spot where you you try to get really get an advantage with a horse like Lamborghini, if you believe. We'll have had plenty of turf races too at this point, get a chance to see how the turf is playing. If speed is carrying, I think you can make a little bit of a case for the four, but saying all that, I have it 3-4, not 4-3. Not brave enough to pick against Maduro, who with that pedigree, I mean, the thing about her pedigree, as I'm always saying about these honor codes, they get better with time, they get better with distance. She's got both of those things on her side. It's going to be very, very tough to beat in the Providencia. Let's go to race number 9. We've got a pair of non-stakes. Nice allowances, though, to end the card. Really solid card here at Santa Anita on Saturday. Good one that Michael Novak from Contest Jockey chose to do this this next game on, I have to say. We're going 6.5 on the dirt in the allowance ranks with this one, and a field of 8 going postward in race 9. I'm just going to try to pull in a horse who I think is going to be a little bit of a price. Been working gangbusters. It's Baffert Runner, so gosh, maybe we're not going to get this 8-1 of the morning line. But I thought Hard to Figure was a little bit interesting. Just 1-13 in the life, but I thought could get a really nice setup to sit mid-pack and maybe inside-out trip and maybe has enough finish under Kyle Frey to get the job done. You give Hard to Figure any chance in the 9th.
Yeah, Pete, you know, for better or worse, he's actually my top choice in here too. I think he'll be the better price of the Baffert pair for sure. And I I'm in total agreement. I think he's just going to trip out nicely here from the rail. Hopefully ground, you know, save some ground. And I certainly has a chance for the mild upset. Like I said, of the pair of Baffert runners here, I'm going to take a little chance here with the 1 as well.
Nice. Who are your comrades?
You know, Thornhouse, trained by Dean Peterson, returns off nearly a layoff. This barn, you know, certainly getting one ready off the bench. Is trained extremely well also for today's effort. But, you know, as my keys, I'm going to probably use the 2 Baffert horses here and then maybe put Thornhouse in 3rd. Those are going to be my keys on the horizontal bets here. But like I said, you know, I'm also with you on the 1 as, you know, the mild upset. And certainly will be the better price, I believe, of the pair anyway. At least
yeah, the on yep. the numbers, I think it has to be. One more race to talk about, our nightcap, 1.25 miles. Nice to see 1.25 miles turf race to close things out. When it comes to all these late picks, when it comes to the contest jockey contesting at Santa Anita on Saturday, how are we going to get paid?
Yeah, Pete, you know, I think certainly looks like the nightcap looks like a race you could, you know, possibly get a price in here. I actually went with the lone 3-year-old, number 1, Better Than Gold, go second time Lasix, a big angle that I like, in fact. Yeah. Enter for Gary Mandela, makes his 3rd start off the bench here, 3rd start of the form cycle. Drops in class for this, show decent speed and the first time going, you know, long routing on grass. Another horse I think is going to trip out nicely here from the rail with Mike Smith. Son of Nice, you know, Nyquist, so, you know, the longer the better. Yep. I actually went 1.39 here in the finale. You know, as much as I like to like Maltese Falcon as a solid horse, tries all the time, but he's just one of those horses that seems to run underneath more than he wins. Always seems to have somewhat of an excuse, and that, you know, that was the case last time too. He was boxed through you watched that replay. He was boxed through the stretch, had run, got running late, but he's 0-10 over the Santa Anita turf course, which is a big red flag to me. And seems to, like I said, pick up the pieces, you know, a lot of seconds, a lot of thirds, but it's one of those horses that seems to find trouble all the time. So, you know, I'm going to go with the 1 here. It's 1.39 for me in the nightcap.
You make a compelling case why I might be nuts for picking Maltese Falcon on top. 1-14 lifetime. And that's a good point. I mean, trip handicappers, you know, back there was a time when trips were like the number 1 thing I was interested in. I would say these days it's pace and race shape. And during that time, there's certain horses and you just fall in love because they always have trips. And then, you know, you gradually begin to realize Slash got coached up by the likes of Mike Maloney and people like Sean Clancy, that it's not an accident that certain horses have trips. They have trips because they're not like athletic enough or speedy enough in bursts to hit holes, you know, and that's might be the case with Maltese Falcon. All that said, I'm giving him one more chance, and I'll be, you know, signing the divorce papers if this doesn't work out. I feel like there is just enough speed going the mile and a quarter that there's an opportunity for this horse to get the right kind of trip this time. You know, granted, two back, it was the right kind of trip. I mean, though, I had traffic. Hoping just inside out this time with the right kind of setup, like two back, I should say. And hopefully this is the day Maltese Falcon breaks through. And if not, I promise I won't nominate him on these airwaves again. But I'm going to go with him here. I think you raised some interesting alternatives. I mean, Better Than Gold, second time on the turf, might be the kind of horse that'll be well served. You know, for runners like the 7 and the 9 go out there, can maybe sit in behind and run a little bit better with cover. Certainly ran well with cover in that second start at Del Mar. So for horizontals, I might follow you in and throw in some ones, but I'm going to stick with my guns and go with Maltese Falcon. Great stuff, Dean. Really appreciate you. Really love reading your work over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. As many people who do read it, more should be. So if you're listening here, you know, bookmark the website and go and check it out. It's not just Dean, too. Loads of great free coverage. We're going to have a ton of free stuff coming up for the Derby on the website, on the YouTube channel. And Dean, I don't know, maybe we can recruit you to write a profile or two for a Derby runner. Did you get that email from Eric yesterday?
I don't think I did. I'm not sure if I was on there. I might have missed it, though, so I don't want to hold him to that.
I'll make sure you do. Hopefully you'll have an opportunity to do some, you know, to do some. I know you don't have a ton of extra time with all the work you do for us, but if there's an opportunity to get you as part of our Derby coverage, we'd love to have that.
Yeah, always happy to help, Pete, and happy to be here, and hopefully we get out some winners here for Saturday.
That's the plan. Thank you so much, Dean.
All right, take care.
I'm making a decision on the fly to cut this week's late week show into two parts because I got a bunch more coming on Keeneland. We're going to do a Keeneland special and we'll leave this where it is because we're already approaching the hour mark. So with that said, let's do the thank yous. We'll thank 10 Strike Racing. We love to root for the purple and black around here. We will thank Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. Kim Weir doing such a great job up there helping humans and helping horses to learn more. Go to inthemoneypodcast.com/horses. We'll encourage people to check out all the content we've got coming on the YouTube channel. Best way to not miss a thing, subscribe there, click the bell. Also, sign up for our free newsletter. Then you get pretty much all the content in digest form. Gonna have special Derby-related newsletters as well in themoneypodcast.com/email for that one. Most of all, though, want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos. Just me.